Well, you remember a few Sabbaths ago, a few weeks ago, sorry I couldn't keep it congruent and continue this on for each Sabbath, but I began a sermon and we talked about the importance of the Sabbath and what it involves and what that day means, not just to you and me, but to God. And we talked about how the Sabbath is holy, set aside by God, set apart for a special purpose. We talked about that this is a test. The Sabbath is a test that God gives us. And it's a sign between us and Him, between God and His people. And that the Sabbath pictures the kingdom of God. God is interested in our growth. And He wants to know how we're doing with this day. What we're doing with this day, what you're thinking, and how you treat this day. Our Sabbath keeping reflects really our relationship with our Father. If Christ and God, our Father, are making their abode with you, which they are, because if you are baptized, you do have God's Holy Spirit. If they make their abode with you, then He's watching you. He's learning from you something about your character. And we know that He's living in us again. So our Sabbath keeping is extremely important to Him. And we talked about that not did God just give us the Sabbath commandment, but He also made a Sabbath covenant with us. And the covenant, that covenant would never end. So let's go back now. We're going to go back to Exodus 20. And we're going to continue with this. Part 2 of remembering the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 20. And really, what I want to focus on more today is really those four primary principles of Sabbath keeping. Okay, those four primary principles. You probably already know them. We talked a little bit about them on the first sermon that I gave. But I want to really emphasize them a little more because the Sabbath is an important command by God. So important for us as His children. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Exodus 20 and verse 8 says again, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And I remember saying that God gave you 6 days out of the week. Those are yours. Do what you want with those 6 days. Work. But the seventh is His. Right, the seventh is His, and He expects us to do or not do certain things on that day. It says, in it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So we see the first principle here that I want to focus more in on is what? To remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And I talked a little bit about what that means for us. When God calls us to remember, it often signifies more than just simply reflecting on it, more than just looking at some of the events. It involves actively bringing those things to mind. Those are His works, what He does, the promises, the character that shapes our faith, our actions, and really our overall character, what we do, and ultimately our relationship with Him. So what are we talking about this remembering? I'm going to go through some things here that I hope will give us more light on this subject. So to remember, remembering and acknowledging God's faithfulness. Now you think about your life. How faithful has God been in your life to you? How faithful has He been? You know, you look at Israel, He led them into the wilderness, didn't He? Teaching them dependence on Him. And we know how Israel did with some of those things, don't we? But He did that so they could reflect on Him. To remember the covenant He made with us. Again, that Sabbath covenant to align ourselves in obedience to His will, not ours. You can write down Exodus 20 and verse 8 if you want. That's what we're just reading here. How about remembering the act of gratitude? Right? Gratitude for what he has done in your life. You know, in Psalm 103 and verse 2, David actually says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Right? Forgetting not all the things he's done. I mean, open your mind, your eyes to see what these days are, what it is that God has called you to know, and praising God for the blessings he's given us. What about remembering to avoid spiritual drift? Judges 8 and verse 34. We see the Israelites are chastised for forgetting God. Forgetting him. Showing that remembering helps. I guess he was trying to show them that remembering helps them stay anchored to him. Right? So we need to be anchored with God. How about remembering God's promises? Because those promises provide help and hope in times of trouble. How about remembering is not passive? Right? Remember is not passive. It often requires a response. It often requires an action. We all have words. We all say things. But it's the action that God looks at. It's what we do with what he's given us. That's how we respond to those things. So how important is this? When God says to remember, I think I've said that the very first Sabbath was like, it's not, oh, it's the Sabbath. We've got to stop doing what we're doing. Got to get ready for church. I mean, you know what? I grew up in the church 56 years. I did that a lot in my life, to be honest. And I think we do sometimes in our lives. We just, oh, it's right, it's the Sabbath. I can't be doing that, or I can't be doing this. And it comes upon us, and we just are oblivious to it. So God says to remember, it's an invitation to engage with him. I mean, our Father in heaven, to engage with him, acknowledge his presence, his faithfulness, all the things that he's done for us in this life, and the promises, in the ways that transform really our hearts and guide our lives. And it's a spiritual discipline that shapes our identity. Right? A discipline. Principle number two that we read in here just a little bit ago tells us that no one in our household is to work. Now that seems very straightforward, doesn't it? But you know, there were men and women who were servants back in those days that lived in somebody else's home, somebody else's house. And really the principle here is that no one under that roof was to work. No one. And that they should follow that principle. Let's go to Exodus 31. Exodus 31 and verse 15. Exodus 31, verse 15, it says, "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord." Now, I've heard people say, well, we come into the church hall and people are working, doing things. So no, that's different. They're setting up the hall for us to have a service. So is that an act of service more than it is an act of work? I mean, they're doing it for us, the congregation, to do those things. And what we have to remember is, remembering the Sabbath day is to stop doing the labors you've done for the last 6 days. Your jobs. I mean, I look at it, and to me, the easiest way to think about this is that I'm not going to do anything I do on the 6 days on the Sabbath. Pretty much covers it. Now, I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. Okay, I'm not talking about that. But I'm just talking about the things that makes it very simple. I had 6 days to do what I wanted to do. Today's not that time. So I don't do what I want to do. And I think really we look at it, it's a chance for us to slow down, to think about what it is that God is providing for us and the work being done on that's not being done on the Sabbath, and to spend more time with family. Right? God is about family. God wants us to be with family. He wants us to get involved with the family. And it's also with our eyes towards serving brethren, serving those in the church that we come in contact with on the Sabbath day. It's not just individual, but as an individual in a broader way, if you know what I mean. So principle number three. Principle number three is these are holy convocations. And I talked a little bit about this, meaning that we are to assemble together with each other for worship. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and verse 1. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, and we can look at this as we can say these are appointed times, these are appointed seasons, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. God again saying, these are mine. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Now, that phrase, holy convocation, is where God outlines, really, I think, the appointed feasts for Israel. And these include the Sabbath, they include Passover, they include the Feast of Weeks, and other festivals that we keep as a part of God's church. And these are all described as holy convocations. Time that we meet together. So we understand that we're told that this day is a holy day. It's a holy convocation. And it's a day of convoking or coming together. And most of our commandments can be done by yourself, can't they? Most of the commandments that we have can be done by yourself. This one in particular requires all of us doing this, isn't it? It's not just me. We all participate in this commandment. And to assume that you are obeying God, when, and I'm not pointing fingers, but I want us to think about if part of our job and part of what God's responsibility is this is a convocation, means we're summoned, then we're going to maybe get into that a little bit here, summoned to be here, like he was summoned to, where did he go? There he is, to go to court. I think we talked about this. If you were summoned to go to court, would you go? You all probably say, yeah. Otherwise, you might go to jail. So if God summons you, you wouldn't go? Which is more important, jail or God? I mean, it's something we have to look at, isn't it? I'm going to obey God because he can get me out of jail if he's so fit. So we have to realize and understand that what we do, staying home, if we are able to be here, is not keeping the Sabbath the way God intended. Sorry. And I've heard people say, well, I'll just watch it on the web. How can you serve your brethren if you're not here? And that's one of the commands we're told to do. You can't. How can brethren serve you? They can't. So it's very something we need to think about. This is not me talking. I'm up here telling you these things. This is God talking. This is coming from God. This is what he commands. This is what he tells us. And I think it's more serious. You know, I talked this morning in a sermon about, and I can't even think of the word, but we are starving. This world is going to starve. We're going to be at a point where we aren't going to be able to hear God's truth, the word of God. And in some countries, it's like that now. You can't say certain things about God or about somebody. And it could be truth, but you can't say it. And we're going to get to that point. And we need to know the truth. God is trying to tell us the truth. He's trying to get us to understand this is important, people. And I look at it as very important. I take it very seriously. You know, I've thought about it for a long time. Is I don't get upset about it, but I get torn up inside about these things sometimes because as your pastor, as your shepherd, as your minister, I'm responsible to tell you this. Because if I don't, who's God going to come to and ask about it? It's very important to me. And so this day, and keeping this day, it should be just as important to you as it is to God in understanding why he commanded it. I mean, I look at this day and I come and think, man, it's a day, I get a day off. I get a day to sit and think about God, to pray to God, to study. I don't have to worry about anything else because the rest of the world, it don't matter on this day. The other 6 days, they can have me. But this day is something I need to be doing and something I should say I'm doing. You know, I can remember times over the years where I've been asked, so where were you this Sabbath, this last Sabbath? I just was tired and didn't feel like coming. That was me. I've said this in the past. And I've heard it from others in the past when I've asked. And I think at that time when I said it, I think later on I said, wow, I bet that minister thinks I'm just a really dumb idiot. Because being tired doesn't matter. You know, we're all tired. I'll tell you what, I'm really tired now. I was up at 3 this morning and I couldn't go back to sleep. I'm tired. But I'll get my sleep sometime. Right now it's the time to do these things. So when we say those things, when I've said those things, I said I didn't understand. And I didn't understand the importance of congregating, of being there. Because you know what? When I wasn't there, all my friends were like, well, where's he at? They missed me. And then I missed them as well. I mean, so anybody that's here, if you're not here, we miss you. Because we're a family. We want to be together. And that is so important. Now, there's a scripture that has been read. And I've referred to it, I think, in a sermon. Maybe here, maybe not here. Maybe I'm thinking of when I was in Utah and Grand Junction, Colorado. But this has been brought up to me before. But the scripture that I'm referring to is Matthew 18, verse 20. And this scripture says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That has nothing to do with the Sabbath day. Zip. So you can't say it. I'm staying home with another family and we're having church in my house. No, this doesn't refer to anything small, a small congregation, because God didn't say he placed his name there. He placed it in the church where we're all to meet. This scripture refers to when there's a problem, when there's an issue, an issue of sin. And you go to that person and he doesn't listen. You get two or three more and you take them with you. And then God says, I am with you. That's what this refers to. So it's, you can't use that, at least not with me. So what I'm really trying to say is this is a holy convocation. This is a commanded meeting, a commanded assembly that God says we're to be here, not by the church, not by me, not by any other minister, but God. Right? God is the one telling us this. Now, we understand if you're sick. We understand if there's something, you can't be here. God understands that. But like I said, if you can be here and you aren't, that's the problem. And God looks at that. Again, we read earlier, he looks at the heart, he looks at the mind, he looks at our character, what we're doing and why we're doing these things. It means that we are congregating to worship God. We're all here for the same purpose, same reason. That means that to be where he wants us to gather in one mind, right? In one accord, to fellowship, to worship. That's what this basically means, this holy convocation. You know, I looked at this up in Hebrew, and this word is spelled mikra, or mikra, M-I-Q-R-A. It says you can check Strong's if you'd like. Go look there. You can check on Young's, any of those things. But it means it's a public worship service. And it means convoking, convocation. And the word actually implies that it's a summons. A summons to work or to worship and convoke. You know, this is one of the 23 appearances that we'll find in the Old Testament. And Micah refers to Sabbaths as convocations. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words tells you that if you want to go look that up, so that you're not just saying, I'm making this up. Go ahead and look at it. And yes, these are technical issues. These are technical words. These are technical statements here. But I feel it's so important for us to understand this, and that we've done our research and we've looked into this, not just spouting it off because it sounds good. Now I looked at that word summons. I'm going to talk about that. Summons. And it had several different definitions. The first one is an order or command to come, attend, appear, or perform some action. Law is an official order to appear in court, specifically to respond as a defendant to a charge. Also, the writ containing such an order. And number two is a call, command, knock, or other signal that summons to serve a court summons upon. So when we look at that and we think about that, what's the thought? What do we think about? How do we respond to that official summons that we're given to appear in court? Again, I asked that earlier. How do we respond to that? Well, again, I hope you pay attention to it. I was summoned some years ago in Utah to do that. And I responded like we're supposed to. I wrote up my thing, my letter, sent it in, and they kept coming back. Well, nope, that's no excuse. You're coming. And then they sent me something and asked me some questions, some really different questions. It's kind of weird, but they said, could I agree with something that the court or the people decide? I said, no, I can't agree on what any man decides. I said, only God knows. They wrote me back and says, you're permanently out. You don't have to get summoned again. So I was glad. But we don't ignore those things. We don't ignore that from and we're not citizens of this country, are we? We're citizens of God's kingdom. So isn't he more important in that sense? So again, it's an official summons. You know, in the past, many people came to church no matter what. In fact, some people came sick, as you remember. I recall they just come because, you know, I'm not missing church. No, I think that's great. But then they passed on that sickness to a lot of other people, which isn't so great. So again, we don't want you to come if you're sick, but you come if you can. That's if you are able to be here, you should be here. That's, again, what God looks at. You know, I remember people in the olden days that would come in wheelchairs. In fact, we took our son on a wheelchair and on a table, on a, what he calls a gurney or whatever it is, to church, to the feast. That wasn't keeping us home. And I think that's what we need to look at, because we wanted to be there. Our son even wanted to be there, even though he couldn't do the things he wanted to be there, because his friends were there. Did he understand all the things of God? No. But he wanted to be there. So we are here because God commands us to be here. And a great deal of learning goes on while we are here. And if we're not here, we miss out. And you can say, well, I can go back and look at a webcast. Okay, fine, you can. But you still miss out on everything else that happens. You still miss out. We're here because God commands us to, and we're here so that we can be renewed every Sabbath. Point number four. We'll get off that one. Point number four is to consider one another and exhort one another. And I think we just think about this as we're going through this is, if you're not here, can you do this fourth point? Not the way God intended. You can't. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. And please understand, again, I'm up here and I'm telling you this, and it may be strong. It's meant to be strong because it's that important. It's that serious. But it's also, I'm not your judge. Right? I'm not your judge. I don't think anybody here could say, I've ever asked them why they weren't here last Sabbath. And the reason I don't is because that's not my business. That's yours. And if you're not here, then you have to answer to God why you weren't here. Not me. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Again, very important. How do we do that if we're not here? That's a part of the fellowship that we have in taking that is talking about here. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting, encouraging, uplifting. You know, grabbing someone by the arm and saying, you know what, it's going to be okay. You can do this. You can get through this. Because you know what? We're behind you. We're family. And it says, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, we learn from each other, don't we? I've learned from a lot of you in the year, a little over a year that I've been here. We learn from each other. We learn from the sermonette givers. We learn from the song leaders. We learn from the sermons that are given. Hopefully we learn from all these things. And there's a wonderful energy, I think, that's experienced while we're here that you don't get when you're at home or anywhere else. I think this is something that is created. And that's why God intended it to be this way. The importance of being here every Sabbath cannot be overstated. And over the years, my family, we've moved all over the country. I don't know, I can't even list all the states. I didn't write them down. But we've moved all over the country. And I would say that the most important thing that I can recall, and I would ask my wife the same thing, to us when we moved was that we're near a church. Right? Near a church. Because that was important, to have fellowship, to have friends, to have the ability to be with one another, to be able to help people, to help serve people. We wanted to be where the people of God were. And I hope that's the way you feel. And I'm sure many of you do. But these four principles that we just talked about are so very simple. I mean, when you really look down into them, they're very simple. And they are, to remember the Sabbath, keeping it holy. It's to what? To not work. That's simple. It's to assemble together. That's very simple. And to remember others. For worship, right? Serving others. Exhorting others. Because what? It's a holy convocation. We are to rest. We are, and this day is a day of rest, and we're to fellowship. And that's what makes this day so wonderful, isn't it? At least in my mind, it's so wonderful. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, in verse 23. Mark chapter 2. In verse 23, Jesus Christ said the following statement. It says, now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as he went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Not a law, one of their laws, one of the Pharisaical laws that they just threw in there. But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those who were with him. How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So hopefully we begin to understand here that God as the creator, we as the creation, and this proper orientation for living, that the Sabbath day becomes a tool. It's a tool for us. It becomes an instrument for us to use in our lives and throughout our lives. And again, it's a very positive tool, a very positive thing that we can look forward to. In verse 28, it goes on to say, therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. You and I have been called. We've been given this knowledge, and we need to remember and understand about life's purposes and why we are here. Not because of anything we've done, that's for sure. And where we're headed. Why we're going there. Most importantly, it tells us how to live. The Sabbath day, again, it becomes a renewal for each of us, a refresher for us, as we walk in the ways of God as He commanded us, so that we can live that way. So this is all a part of this principle that I'm trying to cover, that I'm trying to tell you and talk to you about and help you understand. I'm not saying you didn't understand the Sabbath before, but like I said, I've been in the church 56 years, and for 30 of those years, I probably didn't understand the way I should have, because it was just a thing I did. It's no longer that way. Let's turn to Leviticus 19. Because this also here tells us very something interesting, and it ties in with a couple of the commandments. I had never looked at this before, and it was very interesting to me how this works. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 1. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Again, very important principle, isn't it? And it says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Did you see what that did? Right there in that scripture, he takes this honoring your parents with the aspect of honoring God and the Sabbath day. He is our parent. He puts those two commandments together. And I know in this particular case, I think we see the physical parents are talked about. Yes, we get that. We understand that. And the Sabbath day. But when you begin to understand honoring your parents, that is God. And the Sabbath is an aspect of holiness. I think we begin to see and realize that he has tied those two, the third and the fifth commandment, together in this particular verse. So I think about this. Could it be that God is seeking to tie the honoring of one's parents with honoring the spiritual parents and keeping the Sabbath? I believe he is. Because as our Father, he loves us. He cares about us. He wants the best for us. And that's why we're here, isn't it? You know, by honoring God and having that frame of mind makes him more real to us. Right? Makes him real to us. Establishing, developing, maintaining a personal relationship with him on this day, with the true and living God, the true living Father, is the most important commitment we can ever make, besides baptism. So proper Sabbath keeping ensures, helps ensure, I guess you could say better, as we describe that personal relationship, that close relationship as a son and father, as a daughter and father. Let's go back to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. Again, I'm trying to hit the high points. We have here a list of what you call do's and don'ts. (Laughs) And I think in one particular case, something that is mentioned here is called work-related activities that are forbidden. And sometimes people don't understand this. Sometimes people just can't latch onto this. So I want to touch a little bit more on this. I want to talk a little bit more on this because we're going to draw from these particular principles a little later. We're going to draw from them, okay? But in chapter 35, there is only one mention of this command. And the context is the construction of the tabernacle. And if we look at this, we consider the construction phase of the tabernacle, we can see what the massive undertaking that took. I mean, a lot of people were involved. They were doing a lot of things here. And so they said, no fires, right? No fires for commerce were to be started on the Sabbath. But there are two places where fire is dealt with when we read through the scriptures. Two places. And one is that of the tabernacle, which I just mentioned. And the second one was that when you had commercial or communal fires, where people would, on the 6 days, prepare for the Sabbath, prepare for the seventh day. And so it was a preparation day. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. What we see here is it tells us in verse 1, Exodus 35, verse 1, says, then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whomever does any work on it shall be put to death, and you shall kindle no fires throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Now in past years, I've heard people say, you can't start your oven because that's kindling a fire on the Sabbath. You can't start your fireplace because that's kindling fire. And God says, you do not kindle fire on the Sabbath. It's not what it's talking about. Okay, it's not. When you look back at the church in the 60s and the 70s, and you go back to that era, many of those people were farmers. A lot of people in those days were farmers. And these people decided they would not break the Sabbath. When you look at that, these farmers, they would not break the Sabbath, and they would just work up until the sun went down, and then they would stop whatever they're doing, and they'd come back after the Sabbath was over to finish their chores, to finish their work. We also saw that at the Feast of Tabernacles. I know some of the brethren up in Canada who other farmers told them, if you leave, your crops are going to go dead. You're not going to have nothing. You're going to come back when you go to the feast, and you're going to have nothing. And they said, well, God commands it. We're going anyway. Guess what? They came home and had better crops than the other farmers did and more. God blessed them. But this is what it says in verse 21. Whether it's going to the feast or tabernacles or whatever, God has a way of making sure we have enough. And so I think when we look at these things, we need to understand the importance of reverencing God's sanctuary. Reverencing this particular time that we have, this Sabbath day, being before Him and having this great respect for Him and the devotion and the honor that He deserves from each and every one of us. We worship God in spirit and truth. And yet here we are in this, well, not so plain building. We're not in metal chairs, but we're in plastic chairs. I mean, is it the best seating? No, it's not. But we're here reverencing God. In His sanctuary. And we come in spirit, in truth, and present ourselves before Him the best that we can. You know, and sometimes I say this to me as well, but sometimes I don't think we always recognize the importance of coming into the God's Sabbath, this holy convocation, because I think we take it loosely sometimes. We take it loosely, and we know, I guarantee you. Okay, let me back up just a minute. Those of you around back in the 60s and 70s in the Worldwide Church of God know that it was pretty strict. You do this, you do that. You didn't question anything. At least that's what I remember. Now here we are, and now it's loosey-goosey. Now it's you don't want to say anything because you want to offend somebody. And I say, if I'm telling you the truth, God's word, if you're offended, it's because of God. You don't like what God's saying. And we get offended because of that. How important is it for you to be here? How lucky are you to have this open, this your mind opened for the understanding that he's given to us? We'll close with one scripture. Well, I'm going to say a few things after this, but this will be the last scripture we turn to. Leviticus 19, verse 30. And I really hope when you look at these things and you think about these things, and, you know, I know some people may not be happy with it. And again, it's not meant to ruffle anybody's feathers, but if it does, sorry, I'm going to say, oh, well, it's God's truth. It's what he says. And it's important. It's important for all of us. Leviticus 19, verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. We know that this means to regard with great awe. Right? To great awe, great respect, great honor that we come here before God. And we do that, I know too, that sometimes we let down because we're tired. And that's, I get it. But is it still, does God get it? So we come here in respect to him. And it is part of this in what we wear when we come before God. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what you should and shouldn't wear. That's not my job. My job is to say, you come before God, you better come and respect God. Right? And our attitudes, what we wear, how we dress, all those things have to do with honoring and respecting God in his sanctuary. And this is where we are today. All of these things that we talk about are a part of that. Right? All of these things are a part of this. And so it's important that we understand that we have renewed our feelings. Those things maybe deep down inside that maybe you've had an issue with before. Because when you look at this scripture, the one we just read, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. How important in our mental frame of mind is it as we continue and we come before God today? I have one more sermon to go on the Sabbath, and so I will be giving that next week. So